Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Let's get right down to business right now so we can get to as many games as possible with our guests. World Cup draw has been announced and it's cool as hell. World Cup soccer, nothing tops it. Nothing tops it. You know, people that think that the NFL is some sort of kingpin of the sports world, they're clearly freaking delusional, all right? The NFL is like a high school girl soccer game next to the World Cup of soccer. It's great stuff. It's great stuff just for the world. You know, it seems like, you know, nobody gets bombed during the World Cup. Everybody's focused on soccer for that month or whatever it is. And it's great for people like us that love to gamble. And I love betting on World Cup soccer. So we got the groups announced. And as always, there's a group of death. Now, at times, they try to kind of force this. Because, oh, we got to have a group of death. What's the group of death? Well, clearly we got a freaking group of death. And it's Group F, actually. The Germans. I think Germany are going to win this thing, but it's not going to be easy for them. They have Germany, Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea. Think about these poor South Koreans, man. They've got Kim Jong-un, like, pointing missiles at their face right now. Now they've got to deal with Germany. They've got to deal with Mexico. And this isn't a party for Mexico either, because the Swedes do more than just build IKEA furniture. They play pretty good soccer as well. Great, great group right there. You know, Group E is a cool one. Brazil, Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia. There's going to be a lot of battles in that group right there. You know, of course, the World Cup is taking place in Russia this year, and Putin made sure that the Russians got a good matchup. Listen to Russia's group, man. They got to deal with the Saudi Arabians, all right? You know, you got to deal with Serbia. You know, like, you know, they got Egypt in their group as well. what do we got here? You know, Vladimir Putin made sure that Russia, they're getting through. Group G, Belgium, England, Tunisia, and Panama, pretty interesting. But to me, Group B has the coolest game. And there's already numbers, man. It didn't take these guys long. Unbelievable. Like, the World Cup draw was out. Literally, like, 10 minutes later, we had odds for all these games. So Portugal and Spain are playing. And as somebody that understands the Portuguese a little bit, I'm not Portuguese, though, right? But I have been there. My father lived there. And, you know, I've been there. I understand the culture of soccer and the inferiority complex that they feel to the Spaniards. You know, Spain dominated the international soccer scene. Spain's a very glamorous country, glamorous domestic league, glamorous players, very rich players. And then you've got Brazil. And, of course, Brazilians speak Portuguese. And, you know, Portugal was still sort of stuck in the middle. You know, they're not really Brazil. They're not really Spain. They're damn good, but they never won. And then finally they freaking won. You know, so now, you know, they don't have any inferiority complex anymore. And it's amazing because the odds makers have made Spain big favorites against Portugal. I think the game's going to be a draw, plus 240. We're already breaking down a game that's, what, about 6 months away, whatever it is. I think it's like the second week of June this stuff starts. But I'm fired up for that, man. Portugal and Spain's going to be off the freaking hook. Give me a draw, plus 240 right there. To me, the Germans are the team to beat. And the fact that it's in Europe, I sort of just throw out the Brazilians. I throw out the Argentinians. And speaking of Argentina right now, man, Lionel Messi's brother, I don't know what happened, man, but he showed up at shore and he had a gun and a ton of blood on a boat. And he said that he hurt himself. I don't know if he hurt himself. Looked like a crime scene to me. But that's another story, something to keep our eye on right there. But, yeah, so Argentina, Brazil, the South American countries and the Latin countries, they don't win in Europe, man. It's as simple as you want to talk about, like, road trips and stuff like that. All right, so last time I checked, Russia is Europe, right? You know, I'm looking at Germany. I'm looking at France when it's all said and done. You know, the Germans, you know they're going to be reliable. You know they're going to be right there. You know they're going to be difficult to beat. The French, You know, the French could freaking win this thing, but the French could be a little flaky at times. For the record, the Brits, England, they're checking in at 16-1 right now to win this tournament. And considering how putrid the National Football League season has been, the beautiful sport of football and the World Cup can't get here soon enough. It's going to be great, though. It's going to carry us right through the summer. It's awesome. We're going to have the NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup, right into the second week of June. Boom. World Cup starts. It's going to take us right into next year's preseason, and maybe next year's NFL will be a little bit better. World Cup, baby. Nothing beats it. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, unfortunately, we got good news, bad news. Unfortunately, this is our last show in this studio, actually. So there's renovations, a lot of stuff going on in the building right now. So we'll be moving into Studio B, so to speak, the podcast booth for the time being. But it's been a hell of a ride here. Maybe later in the show we'll get Camera 2 Drew in here. Camera 2 Drew will be no more. It's going to be Camera 1 Sean. From here on out. So yeah, our last show in this studio. You don't know what you have until until it's gone, do you? It's a beautiful facility. But as we stated, a lot of stuff going on in the building that it's above my pay grade. So renovations, changes to the complex, etc. But the show's so it's good news, bad news. Yeah, and I don't really think you guys care where we sit as long as we're giving you winners. So we're going to continue to give you winners. And if I can confirm, McCormick, I believe we're moving to 5 o'clock. Does this start Monday? 5 o'clock, thanks to Glenn McDonald. So, yeah, starting this Monday, we're on a 5 o'clock, and that's actually a cooler time to be on at than 2 o'clock, actually. 2 o'clock's kind of a nowhere's land. Yeah, it's weird. I know most of my fans don't have jobs, so does it really matter? But 5 o'clock, just a little bit better right before the games. And when I say they don't have jobs, they have jobs. They're very successful drug dealers. All right, we got Steve Merrill, we got Paul Bovey, and we got my DraftKings lineup. And I say this every week, but I got a pretty good DraftKings lineup this week. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now on this championship weekend. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, let's get right down to business right now. You wrote over at Covers Experts, not all the games, I don't know why they bother, but not all the games are actually title games this week. We have a couple of stragglers that are still hanging around trying to punch their ticket into bowl games. So let's start off with a game you wrote about, South Alabama and New Mexico State. New Mexico State's laying 9.5 in this football game. Total 53.5, and the Aggies are trying to get to 6.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they were actually a big underdog last year. That's how bad South Alabama's been this season. Just a substantial drop-off. They're coming off a bye week, a late bye week. I'm not sure it's going to matter, though. They lost 52-0 2 weeks ago before the bye as a 6-point road favorite at Georgia Southern. Lost 52-0. So who knows what they have left in the tank. And then on top of that, New Mexico State at 5-6 does become bowl eligible with a win. South Alabama's got nothing to play for, and they've got the revenge one. They've actually led that game last year in the fourth quarter. Problem is the line's a little inflated. My power ratings only make it 5 or 6, but 9.5 is a little pricey. But once again, when a team loses 52-0 as a road favorite, you probably need to adjust your power ratings on the fly.
All right, so let me ask you then about this Florida State game. So it's official right now, right? Jimbo Fisher's just bolted.
Yeah.
We knew it was going to happen. What a snake he is, man, Jimbo. Jimbo was at a press conference 2 days ago. Oh, gee, guys, I don't know anything about any of that stuff. I'm just here to coach. And some guy asked him at his, you know, he does a radio show in a bar. And some guy asked him point blank to his face. He said, you know, you're always talking about loyalty to the program. He goes, whatever is going on, where's your loyalty? Jimbo didn't answer, and they kicked the guy out. They pushed him and stuff. Like, they violently ejected the guy, and then Jimbo gives a big middle finger. You know, I get it. It is what it is. It's college football. Texas A&M got a good football coach. They're going to improve. But, you know, these guys are freaking snakes. But I want to ask you, so he leaves. He's not coaching tomorrow then.
Correct.
And now they're laying 27.5 points against the Monroe team. It can hang around, I think.
Yeah, no, I was just doing the Charlotte radio show an hour ago live, 1 hour ago, and while I was on the air, that news broke. In fact, they'd gotten a source that had told them a few minutes earlier that the ESPN reporter got off the plane in Charlotte today and was told to immediately get back on and go down to Tallahassee. So they knew something was happening, and then this came out about an hour later. And apparently, from what I heard as well, what they were saying as Leach is that, you know, some of the players said they were not going to play this week if he was still the coach. So this actually could be a catalyst. And the line has not moved much. In fact, it's held 27. And as I'm speaking right now, it's dropping to 26.5 at two major sports books, literally within the last 5 seconds as we're live.
And FSU
right now
can get into a bowl too, right, with a win here. We should note that. And the kids probably want to. I know it's a big-time program, and it's embarrassing. Some teams don't want to accept the bowl bid at six. But from what I gather, the kids want to win this game and get to six. So you're telling me now they're like, screw you, Fisher. Get the hell out of here. We don't want to see your face anymore. Like you said, this could motivate FSU, actually.
I agree, and the line literally just dropped a half a point. It's now 26.5 in a lot of spots off that key number of 27. My power ratings actually make a true line like 32. So even though I wrote up UM Monroe in my Line Watch article, I thought the line was a little short, and that's why I thought it would rise higher maybe to that key number of 28. One thing I do like about Monroe, though, is an explosive offense. They're averaging almost 36 points a game this year offensively. So you love that as a backdoor cover team getting four touchdowns. And Florida State has not covered all season against a Division 1A opponent until last week against Florida, and that was very misleading. They had a 3-turnover edge but only had 216 total yards. So very misleading win against Florida last week. They were 0-8 against the spread against all other FBS teams until last week.
All right, so who's going to coach FSU then?
Yeah, that's what we need to look into. And then we also need to confirm that the players are happy that Fisher's gone, because this is kind of like handicapping a bowl game. You know, it's all about motivation now because it's obviously a mismatch on the field.
Odell Haggins. Odell Haggins.
My guess is it'll be someone they'll rally behind if they're smart.
He's the defensive tackles coach.
Right.
Holy crap. The defensive, like.
This could rally him. I think
I rallies them, but
26.5 is a mistake, probably.
You're right. And I bet you, you know what, Steve? I bet you it comes down more. Because this news just broke right now. When Johnny Casual sees this, he's going to go, you know what, Fisher's gone. And, you know, it's not good, though. It's not good. I mean, you're going to have a defensive tackles coach making decisions. I still think Monroe are worth the points. I think FSU win the game, but I think it's going to be a battle, just, you know, not a battle from the win the game, but there's a lot of stuff going on. You can't tell me this isn't a major distraction.
And Monroe covered against Auburn a few weeks ago as a big dog in the same situation. They lost by 28 in that game. They were getting more points than they're getting this time, but they did keep it close against a much better defensive opponent than Auburn.
All right, Memphis and Central Florida. This is a title game. The American Athletic Championship game is a rematch from the regular season when Central Florida won 40-13 as 5.5-point favorites. This total opened up in the 84.5-85 range, and it's come down. It's the highest total for any conference championship title game in football history. And it's coming down right now. I don't agree with the movement. You know, to me, I agreed with the opening number. I would have made this in the 86.5 range if I was an odds maker. This is going to be a freaking track meet, man. You know, sometimes you don't want to overthink things. And this is one of these instances, Steve, where I don't want to overthink things. Both these offenses can just light it up. Memphis can't stop anybody. Like, seriously, Memphis can't stop a thing. They're not going to stop Central Florida here. You know, it's a home game for Central Florida as well, and a totally efficient offense. I love the over of this game. And normally I like to bet the underdogs, but I'm not so sure about this. I think Central Florida might roll them.
Yeah, the line opened 85 when I did the article this week for covers.com. It was 82, and then yesterday it dropped down to 81. So it just continues to drop. Now, The total was 68.5 when they played back on September 30th, and it stayed under the total. They only had 53 points, but that's because Memphis got down 23-7 at halftime, and they became very one-dimensional. They only ran for 75 yards in that game, and that's very misleading because this is a team that averages 200 rushing yards a game. And they scored only 13 points against Central Florida, but they still averaged 47 for the season. So that means basically they've averaged over 50 points a game in their other 10 games this season.
Yeah.
And as we saw last week, that South Florida game, Central Florida is great offensively, but as you said, not very good defensively against a good opponent. And that game had 91 points last week. East Carolina, Memphis game had 83 points last week. The week before, the SMU game had 111 points. So, yeah, a little surprised this total is dropping. I think it was based mainly on that first game being lower scoring, which is probably a bit misleading.
Central Florida averaged 48.3 points per game, guys.
They both average almost 48 points a game.
Yeah,
so
it's just some serious, serious firepower here in a championship game that it's going to be bombs away. It's just going to be, we got to score, we got to score fast, and we got to score again. It's going to be like an Arena Football League game, literally and figuratively. Love the over of this game. All right, we got a football game tonight. Steve, and I don't want to be redundant, but I've repeated myself. They better win because I got a lot of people who are starting to buy in right now because I've been so, you know, adamant about this. But I'm looking at Stanford and USC, and I think the USC Trojans played their best football game of the year against Stanford a week two. And I was on the Stanford Cardinal. But since then, they've won 8 of their last 9 football games Stanford have. They're playing their best football of the season right now. The quarterback change to Costello made a big difference. The game is being played in a Bay Area in Santa Clara. It's essentially a home game for the Stanford Cardinal. We got a better coach, much better coach than David Shaw over Clay Helton. We got a revenge spot. David Shaw is 11-3 against the spread as an underdog with the Stanford Cardinal. We have a better defense. Stanford only gave up 20 points a game. Now, USC's not bad at 26, but we got a better defense, a better coach, home field, revenge. And I think the best, everyone can talk about Sam Darnold, but I think the best player on the field is Stanford Cardinal running back Bryce Love. I like the Stanford Cardinal to win this game outright.
Yeah, the line's been rising this week, which is surprising. It crossed over that key number 3, went as high as 4, and now it's back down to 3.5. But you're right, Stanford basically a home team in this game. And the thing that jumps out to me is the fact that both defenses are very mediocre this year, if you look at a yards per play. And that, of course, was obvious back on that September 9th meeting in which they totaled 66 points and went over the total of 55. This total is only around 58, 59. I actually had the over last Saturday as a best bet for my clients in the Notre Dame-Stanford game. It went over the total. And Stanford's averaging over 200 rushing yards per game. They run for more than they throw. They average 6 yards per carry, which is an incredible number. So Bryce Love being listed as probable tonight is the key to this game. He should play, be okay. But, yeah, I think both teams get some points here. And you look at what USC did back on September 9th. They put up over 600 yards of offense in that win. This is not a good defensive team at Stanford like we've seen in many years past.
Yeah, no, they've been playing to the over the last month or so. But, you know, conversely, they're also more explosive offensively than Stanford teams of past years.
True. Yeah, I mean, both these teams averaged 32, 34 points each.
Yeah.
So I thought the total looked a little low considering the defensive numbers.
Betting market agrees, though, and is jumping in on this. It keeps climbing, you know, 58 up to 59.5 in some spots right now. All right, this next game, we want to talk about motivating factors here. If I'm Fresno, I'm pissed. You know, we have identical records to Boise State, yet we just beat Boise State, yet we got to play in Boise State. It's ridiculous. The Mountain West Conference Championship game, where it's played, isn't decided on the field. You know, some of the places play neutral, like the bigger conferences can get away with playing in a neutral field. You know, the smaller, you know, Fresno and Boise can't play at Cowboy Stadium, all right? You know what I'm saying? They can't fill up a stadium, so they got to play it at their home fields. So, but to me, it's ridiculous. And a Mountain West commissioner and a Mountain West conference computer program and decision said Boise State deserved this game at home more than Fresno, even though they had the same record and Fresno beat them last week. This is huge motivating factor here. Boise State never cover at home anymore. They've covered one game in the last 3 years, essentially, at home. I got to take Fresno. A pissed off Fresno State here getting 9.
Well, if you look at the, you know, I think the point spread and the odds makers are the smartest of all the, you know, prognosticators as far as rankings and whatnot. And I guess if you're really going by that, then Boise does deserve it because they're a 9-point home favorite. You give them 4 or 5 points at most for home field, they're still 4 points better on a neutral. And last week they were a 6.5-point road favorite at Fresno. So,
and they lost outright.
I know. No, I'm not disagreeing. I think logistically Fresno deserves it, but I do think Boise's the better team. So
Boise's the better team on reputation. I mean, they're both 7-1 in the conference. Fresno's won 4 in a row. It's not like Fresno played a cream cape schedule. They played Alabama. You know, we should note that. One of Fresno's losses to Alabama, guys, okay? So, you know, to me, and I get it, Steve. I get it. Boise are starting to play better football. I'm not going to dispute that. But to me, you know, I just think Fresno are being majorly disrespected here.
Yeah, if you look at the schedule strength, actually, Boise still came out ahead a little bit. I think these two teams are pretty equal. I think Fresno deserves the home game based on beating them last week and the way it played out. But my power ratings and Vegas power ratings still would have Boise as a slightly better team. But that doesn't mean they're going to win by double digits here. And it is a difficult spot for Fresno, and it's very rare that we have a quick turnaround revenge spot in football. You hardly ever see this. I mean, the only time it ever happens is maybe, you know, the NFL playoffs from week 17 to the wild card round. And even then, usually teams are resting guys in the week before.
Yeah.
So this is almost like handicapping a basketball game here. And I think the quick revenge spot does probably favor Boise here for that reason. And it's going to be a tough situation for Fresno. And yes, Boise's home field hasn't been as strong, but you got to feel like if they're going to have an edge, it'd be this week, especially against a West Coast team in December.
One thing I will note that when the game got away from Boise last week, they did tap out. You know, they did realize, you know, knowing that we're playing them next week anyways again. So
right.
you didn't get a frantic, we got to come back, we got to come back. I will admit that. But I was on Fresno last week. I will be on Fresno State again this week. Let's shift gears over to the National Football League, the Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. One of their trickier, one of the better games from a fan perspective to watch on the board. But a difficult game to bet on. It's hard for me to get in front of Mike Zimmer and his ATS dominance. The Vikings have won 7 football games in a row. The Falcons are starting to heat up a little bit. They've won 3 games in a row. Offense, they both score exactly 24 points a game. Minnesota scores 24.6, Atlanta 24.1. Minnesota only gives up 17.7, but Atlanta's defense isn't all that bad either at 20.9. Big, big football game for both teams here. I lean with the Minnesota Vikings, though, still.
Yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota's the better defensive team. That's the one edge that jumps out to me. I think Minnesota's offensive number's a bit misleading because I think all of us would probably agree Atlanta, the better offensive team, even though they both average 24. In fact, Atlanta technically averages less per game, but their yards per play is almost a half a yard better, and that's the number I really look at. So I think Atlanta has the offensive edge, the home field edge, and that fast track at home. Minnesota, though, has the defensive edge, and they shut down a good offensive opponent in the Rams a couple weeks ago at home. They're coming off the mini-bye as well because they had the Thanksgiving game at Detroit. So situationally, this isn't a bad spot for Minnesota. But it looks like Atlanta's starting to turn things around here with the 3 straight wins. And remaining at home, I think they get the edge this week.
Panthers and Saints. Panthers and Saints. Saints are up to 5-point favorites right now. Yeah, it keeps climbing. The total's at 48. I think this game opens up. I think this game's going to be a lot of points. You look, you know, earlier in the year when they played, it went under the number. But in past years, they have two straight games they played was 41-38, actually. They've historically played high-scoring games against each other. It's a monster game. It's for first place in the division. I just think 5's too much. And I can't confirm this, obviously, but I don't think Marshawn Lattimore is going to play. The stud defensive back, cornerback rookie for New Orleans. He hasn't been practicing. His foot's still screwed up. You know, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're looking at the long haul. I don't, you know, he could play, but I really doubt he's going to play. I like Carolina getting to 5 points in this game now.
Well, and the total's gone from 47.5 up to 48.5 this week, so that might be one of the reasons right there. Carolina, once again, this is kind of like the Minnesota-Atlanta game, very similar. Carolina, the better defensive team as an underdog here on the road after multiple wins against a Saints team that's explosive offensively, especially at home. So this is very similar. The difference, though, instead of only laying 3 with Atlanta, you're laying, like you said, an inflated number with 5 here. I think the situation favors the Saints, especially to bounce back off that Rams loss. Keep in mind that they should have lost that Redskin game the week before. They trailed the majority of that game, were fortunate to win in overtime. So this line looks inflated. I think the situation favors New Orleans. They win by about 3, maybe. Now that's what concerns me, laying the inflated number.
All right, Steve, we have the World Cup of Soccer coming up this summer in Russia. We had the draw this morning. I'm looking for USA and Canada. Can't find them.
Well, I was going to say, did Canada make it? Because I know the USA sure didn't.
No, Canada did not make it.
Yeah.
The only way Canada will ever make it is if we host it.
Yeah, soccer in North America is struggling. Oh, I guess Mexico technically is North America, so they're keeping it alive.
Yeah, well, you know what? Domestically, it's doing well. MLS is bigger than it's ever been. As we saw last night, sold-out stadium in Seattle. Seattle Sounders win. But, yeah, internationally, North American soccer is freaking putrid, unless we're talking about the women's game. Check out Steve Merrill's picks over at ProSportsInfo.com. Go over to Covers Experts as well. Check out his package. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Paul Bovey's going to step up and in. And I know Paul's been firing away. He's coming off a big win last night. He had the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk some more college football. We'll mix it up. We'll get to some of the other games. But, you know, this is the last week of college football, guys. After this, we have Army-Navy next week. And then the week after, the bowls start. So, and the NFL is sort of eh. But we'll hit some NFL football. I'm Renzi on Filter this evening. I'm starting to come up with a couple of games that I like. Bad football teams, though, but we're getting points. But Paul Bovey joins us next. I look forward to seeing what he likes.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's bring in Paul Bovey right now from Los Angeles, California. Paul, smoking hot, killed it last night with the Dallas Cowboys over the Washington Redskins. We've got a ton of games to get to. What's going on, Paul? How you doing?
Actually, I'm in Vegas right now, and I walked into the Wild West last night. You ever walked into the Wild West? It's like the Wild West. You don't go in there.
I've been smart enough to know not to go into the Wild West. I'm aware of the Wild West. So you know, you're in Vegas right now. You popped in. Huh? So what, you decided to spend a weekend there, a big weekend of games?
Yeah, it's you got to get away every now and then and just, see how things work out for the weekend. So it was a good start with those Dallas Cowboys who shocked a lot of people, not myself. And we'll see what happens as we move along here.
All right. So where'd you play the game last night? Did you go up to the window or you played it on the app?
Oh, no. I walked up to the window. Believe me, I walked up there like this because you don't want to show cash in the Wild West because it's about 50 yards to your car and you're an endangered species in there when you are showing money. So
that's where you bet it. I didn't know that. Dear God, have fun collecting and getting out of there alive, Pa. I know, man.
It's a station's property. They had plus two on the game. And, you know, if you take the 1.5 and it ends two, you're just going to have nightmares. So I said, let me drive and inconvenience myself, grab the two. And
you know what pisses me off, though? It's worth the drive. And you know what pisses me off, though? Stations, they don't cash tickets at other properties. They should do that. And that's an annoying thing that the book should do for you. But anyways, Stanford USC tonight. You're an LA guy, so you know you get a lot of Trojan media stuff around you. Pac-12 championship game, only college football game on the board. It's a revenge spot. USC, I thought, played their best football game of the year earlier in the year when they beat up on Stanford and racked up all that offense. But I don't want to repeat myself. I've been doing it all week. So just for the record, Paul, I'm on Stanford here tonight. I think Stanford, you know, they've won 8 of the last 9 football games. David Shaw is 11-3 against the spread. The game's taking place in the Bay Area. They got a better defense, a better coach. I think the best player on the field is Bryce Love. I think Stanford get it done tonight. What's your take on this game if you got an opinion?
Well, I agree with you on Bryce Love. He is the best player on the field last time. I think he had 160 yards on 17 carries. He had a 75-yard run in there. And they got to feed the beast to have a chance because last time they gave up, and as you pointed out, 307 yards on the ground, 48 carries. Sam Darnold, best game, 21-26 for 300-plus. The problem is in that 42-24 USC win. I don't see anything to hang my hat on with respect to Stanford as to why this outcome should change here. Stanford has been weak against the run. Even in their victories, you take out the quarterback runs versus Washington, 5.2 yards a carry, UCLA, 7.7 yards a carry. They did a great job against Notre Dame last week at 3.5, but that was the exception to the rule here. And unless they can stop USC's ground game, it's going to be a similar result as last time. Can't justify a play on Stanford here.
All right, and I'll close it up by stating the USC Trojan guys are 3-8-1 against the point spread this year. I believe that USC falls short in big football games. Yeah, they beat Stanford earlier in the year. You know, they barely beat Texas. They didn't beat they got pumped by Notre Dame. They lost to Washington State. I think USC are overrated, but we'll see what happens. That's why there's sports books. That's why bookies exist. All right, Paul, this next game's a tricky one. And I remember
I think they're overrated too, Gabe, by the way. I think they're overrated too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the Pac-12 is overrated as a conference.
I think the over's a play, but that keeps going up too. It's up to 59.5 in some spots right now. But I do think they're going to get there again.
I would agree with you there. But once value goes away, it's something that I just say the train has left the station, and maybe I'll catch it during live wagering.
All right, so it's a revenge spot. We got 7 championship games in a revenge spot. It's actually a record. One of them, TCU and Oklahoma. I remember you liked the Horned Frogs in that first football game. And now you get an opportunity. So when you saw they were playing each other again, I'm curious to where you're going with this. If you liked them the first time, you know, I don't see how you don't like them again almost. You know, but or Oklahoma just too much. I'm torn on this football game. I'm leaning Oklahoma more so than TCU. But, and I don't have to tell you this, TCU figured it out and shut these guys down in the second half. And this TCU defense since then has been on a freaking tear. You know, Oklahoma, what, they were up 38-14 at the half, and the game ended up 38-20. Did TCU figure something out, Paul, leading into this football game?
Or did Oklahoma take their foot off the gas? Because in that first half, Gabe, 5 long drives for the Sooners and only 1 punt. So the question beckons, was it Baker Mayfield and company just saying, we got this game in hand? And by the way, if you had the over in that game, your heart was broken because, as you pointed out, Oklahoma did not score. TCU got 6. This is the most publicly bet game of the weekend in terms of these conference championships. 80% of the money is going on the Sooners, and I think the Sharps are sitting back and waiting to get that 7.5 if one of the books hangs that number. I don't think they're going to do it. But the one thing I will say is that, yes, there's value here because the first game opened 7.5, went to 4.5, closes at 6 in Oklahoma. So now on a neutral field, which is biased towards in favor of TCU because it's in Texas, you're getting 7. And I think TCU will come in a lot looser this game because, let's face it, TCU is not going to the playoffs. They really don't have anything to lose. They had a lot to lose that first game. I think it's going to be more competitive, but it's hard for me to forget what happened in that first half. Probably Oklahoma gets this one. They might be a good teaser play here. That's the direction I will look. I will not lay more than a touchdown. No way. In fact, I might be a taker at 7.5.
Another rematch, Georgia and Auburn. I was on the Auburn Tigers in this football game a couple of weeks ago. But if you're Georgia, you know, I liked how Georgia responded after the loss. They didn't hang their heads. They went out. They kicked the crap out of teams in the following weeks after that. And if you're Georgia, it's been a roller coaster for you, but everything's fallen into place. You don't play Alabama, and you're playing an Auburn team that just smoked you a couple of weeks ago. So you get an opportunity at revenge. You avoid Alabama, and if you win, you're in. You're going to the college football playoffs. This is clear cut. The winner gets in. You know, they shut down Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb to what, like 55 yards or whatever it was in the first matchup. They absolutely kicked the crap out of them. I don't think Auburn can play at this level every week. And then coming off the win against Alabama last week, and you want to talk about, close proximity, where's this game? It's in Atlanta, freaking Georgia, man. This is essentially a home game. I know Auburn fans will get tickets, and they'll be there, and it's close, et cetera. But still, you get the Georgia Bulldogs in a revenge spot in the state of Georgia. I'm going to go with the Bulldogs in this one.
Well, the Sharps will agree with you here, Gabe, because Auburn opens a three-point favorite, immediately goes to 1.5, and that's pretty much where it sits. So they're overlooking that first blowout, glaring stat in favor of the Auburn Tigers. The winner of the Iron Bowl, 7-0 in the SEC Championship since 2009. So that favors Auburn. What does not favor Auburn is their kick return coverage is the worst in the nation. Georgia is 15th to the good as far as returning kickoffs. So the Bulldogs figure to have excellent field position. They're a running team, and that benefits the Bulldogs because you don't want to throw against the Auburn Tigers. I feel it's going to be a much closer game. Georgia is going to run, and run some more. And I'm going to look to the under here at 48 points. I think it's going to be a grinded out game, and it'll end at 37 or 38 points.
I can't disagree, actually. I think Georgia is going to say, you know what? We're giving the ball. Yeah, like last time Michelle and Chubb got stopped, not this time. You're right. I think they'd have given it to them like 17 times in a row. And this is going to be awesome. I got goosebumps now. This is just dirty South, big-time hitting athletes going to be knocking the crap out of each other in the trenches with a trip to the playoffs at stake. This is going to be big-time football. I can't disagree. Normally, I like betting the overs, but it wouldn't shock me if this is a 16-13 football game. Like, you know, I think it could be that difficult to come by and smash mouth. All right, Miami and Clemson. Clemson Tigers. Clemson come in here just absolutely rolling teams right now. Tigers have won a school record 10 straight games against top 25 opponents, which is freaking hard to do. Dabo Sweeney's a hell of a coach. Clemson have won 55 straight games when holding opponents to under 23 points, a streak that dates back to 2010. I wonder about this Miami offense. And, you know, Georgia has had time to absorb that loss to Auburn, and they bounced back. Miami really seemed to be rattled after that loss last week. And I know it's a championship game right now, but Malik Frazier, he didn't look very good. He got taken out of the game. His confidence level is shaken. Now you get this ferocious Clemson Tiger defense. What's your take on this one?
Well, first of all, Miami loses their tight end, which is a key injury, and that in the Pittsburgh game. Second leading receiver, 41 receptions this year. That is going to hurt. Look, the value's been sucked out here, Gabe. I'm going to agree with you. Clemson's going to win this football game. It opened 5, went through two key numbers at 6 and 7, and it sits now at 9. So if you like the Miami Hurricanes, by all means, pile in. But if you like Clemson.
Here's a good teaser, Paul. Here's a good teaser one. You got Clemson, 7-point teaser, down to -2 with the Sooners or something.
I was actually going to get to that because this would be a good teaser play. One thing about Miami, they are ranked 115th in terms of time of possession, 119th in terms of conversion on third down. That's not good when you're facing a Clemson defense. Clemson's going to control the ball, play turnover-free football. Miami relies on big plays. Clemson does not give up big plays. Miami is overmatched here. It's just a question of how many Clemson will win by. The only way the Tigers can blow this football game is via turnovers. They're a better team. The glass slipper broke for Miami last week. Rightfully so, they had 5 ugly wins, including over Toledo, who they only led by 7 or 8 points in the fourth quarter, followed by games against North Carolina and Georgia Tech and a couple others. Miami was just overrated to begin with. The Sharps have piled in. Clemson wins the football game.
All right, we're not going to have time for the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, but I want to repeat something that I brought up a couple of times this week, guys. There's been 6 Big Ten Conference Championship football games. The underdog is 6-0 against the spread and 4-2 outright, all right? Favorite is never covered in this game. I do like Wisconsin in this game. But before we get you out of here, Paul, NFL football, are you pulling the trigger big on one football game this weekend? Or what's your big college bet? But throw an NFL game at us here. We got 1 minute.
I like Minnesota. I think Atlanta is highly overrated. Remember, last week, Tampa Bay, they did not have cornerback Hargreaves. They did not have Ayers, defensive end. T.J. Ward goes out of the game. Atlanta is all hype. They had some bad losses in there. They won the last 2 weeks. They beat Seattle on the strength of 279 yards of offense. They accumulated 34 points. And now they're facing a real defense, and one of their corners, Trufant, is out, concussion protocol at this point. That's going to hurt them. Minnesota getting points here is a huge bargain.
I can't disagree. Paul Bovey can find his picks over at VegasInsider.com in the handicapper section, as well as you can follow him on Twitter at Paul Bovey. Stay safe at the Wild Wild West. Paul, always a pleasure, my man.
I got to cash that ticket, Dave. Can you come down and escort me in there? That's what I want.
Yeah, if I was there, yeah, I nearly got robbed twice outside the Strat, all right? They watched me win, and they came for me. So, yeah, maybe this is the time you flip a 10 or a 20 spot to the security. You know what I mean? Say, give me a walk over to my car here on the way out of here.
You look like that imposing figure with that bald head and those
big eyes. Dude, I look like one of the guys who's going to rob someone. I know. The hustlers don't bother me. Or they just think this guy doesn't have any money. Don't worry about him. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, kid.
There's Paul Povey with us. Yeah, everyone thinks Vegas is, oh, it's a lovely day here, Paul. He's like, yeah, man, I got to keep the money down in this place. All right. Sure, the Stratosphere loves that. But, hey, maybe the Stratosphere, maybe you guys should put that in, like, in little details about your hotel. You know, north end of Strip, panoramic view, fine restaurant. May get robbed outside back of hotel. Maybe you want to put that in. Game time decision continues.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's get to some NFL DFS. I'm actually fired up for this weekend's card from a DFS perspective. Let's get down to business, start off at the quarterback position, and we're going to go with Cam Newton. You know what? I was undecided. Other quarterbacks that I seriously considered taking, Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers is going to put up, probably throw for three touchdowns against his Cleveland Brown defense. I think that game's going to probably be a higher scoring game. I consider Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor was cheap. I think he's $5,400. And Buffalo probably going to be playing from behind. Tyrod runs and scrambles, and he's put up like 23 points, DraftKings points per game in the last two games against the Patriots. But ultimately, I decided to go with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's starting to, the guy's healthy right now. He's 100% healthy. The Panthers offense is starting to click a little bit. McCaffrey's getting better. They got Greg Olsen back. We'll get to Devin Funchess in a second. But the fact of the matter is, five of the last six times that the Carolina Panthers have played the New Orleans Saints, the game's gone over the number. All right, we're talking 41-38 games, 37-33s. They play high-scoring games. They played a lower-scoring game earlier in the year, but Carolina's offense was struggling earlier in the year. I think this game's going to open up, and I think Cam Newton's a good play at $6,800 here. Never expected to play Marshawn Lynch. I'm not a big Lynch fan. I think he's funny, but, I wouldn't have signed him if I was the Raiders. But doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, Crabtree's out. Cooper's out. All right? They're going to have to run the ball. Otherwise, Derek Carr's going to be out again. He's going to get freaking killed. And we've seen, we saw last week, 26 carries, 20 DK points. I think he's going to get similar. We've got similar production, if not a little bit more, man. Maybe he can give us two touchdowns this week, actually. Marshawn Lynch, $4,800. It's all about volume, guys, here. That's what our lineup is about this week. Leonard Fournette, he's getting the Indianapolis Colts. The game's in Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette has always bounced back after a soft spot. You know, if he has a bad game and he puts up 6-7 DK points, he usually responds with 20 in the following game. I think he goes off here. The Colts are giving up the seventh most points, fantasy points to running backs. Leonard Fournette, only 12 carries last week. He's going to have fresh legs. I think Leonard Fournette goes off and has a big game in this game. Let's talk about the wide receivers. I talked about the Saints and the Panthers game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Michael Thomas, that's right. This guy's freaking killed me in season-long leagues. But it's not like he's not getting targeted. He just doesn't score touchdowns anymore. I think that changes in this football game. I think that Michael Thomas is going to get into the end zone. He's been targeted 40 freaking times in the last four games. He had seven catches and a rare touchdown against Carolina earlier in the year. As I stated, I think this game's going to be a shootout track meet. And I think Michael Thomas is going to have like eight or nine catches and a touchdown. Hopefully two. Come on, make us a millionaire. Devin Funchess, Michigan, hail to the Wolverine. He's put up 59 DraftKings points in the last three games, guys. You know, he had a 20, he had a 26, he's had a 13. 13 or more in three straight. I don't think Lattimore's going to play. I can't confirm it right now as of this taping, but he hasn't practiced. It seems like he's not going to be playing. It's going to be a big advantage for Funchess here. He's going to make some big plays in a very high-scoring game. Let's go with Adam Thielen here in another game that I think there's going to be some points. What can you say about this guy, man? He's 22 catches, 378 yards, and two touchdowns in his last three football games. He joined Randy Moss, the only Minnesota Viking wideout with at least 70 catches and 1,000 yards in the first 11 games of the season. The guy is that damn good. And looks like Trufant is out for the Falcons. Falcons have a good secondary. Their cornerbacks are good, but they get carved up in the slot. Thielen's going to eat these guys up, man. It's going to be another big performance for Thielen. I hope I'm not a day late and dollars short and a week late to the party with Seals Jones. But at $3,200 in this spot, I think Arizona's going to put some points up on the board. This Rams-Cards game should be a higher scoring one as well. We mentioned no Cooper, no Crabtree. Derek Carr's got to throw the ball to somebody. I think Cooks is a nice play at the tight end position, but I couldn't afford him. Let's go with Cordell Patterson at $3,400, man. $3,400 for a number one wide receiver against a bad defense like the New York Giants. That's not too bad, and we wrap it up with our defense. Kansas City's offense hasn't done anything, man. New York Jets defense is pretty salty in that stadium. Let's play the New York Jets defense. I had $300 left, but I didn't like the other defenses that were more expensive, so let's stick with the Jets. We're going to double our money. We're going to win head-to-head matchups, and hopefully we can cash in a tournament with this. Game time decision continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
All right, we've got quite a few picks to get to, but before we do, we're going to give these picks on a sentimental note. Unfortunately, this is the last time we'll be standing in this spot on this set. We had a hell of a time here over the last, nearly 4 years. Show's not going away, but the studio is building under renovations and stuff. So, we'll be setting up in Studio B, but let's get down to business and let's end in this studio with some wins. Give me Stanford +4, man. Give me Stanford on the money line. They're going to win this game outright. Better coach, better defense, home field. Stanford USC over 59 as well. Detroit Pistons, red hot right now, man. Pistons going to get it done this evening against a banged up Wizard team. Pacers and Raptors over 217.5. Miami Heat, you've cost me twice this week. I'm going back to the well one more time. If not, you're dead to me. Give me the Miami Heat. College basketball, Boise State, Oregon over 146. NHL hockey, Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Sabres. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.